family. We came here in 2004. I was 10 years old then. And since that time, the Lord has worked in my life all along the way. And my parents were saved here. I was saved here. My wife was saved here. Most of my in-laws were saved here. So a lot of things have happened here, and I'm grateful for all of it. And through it all, the Lord has worked in my life, just like he's working in yours. And I know sometimes it doesn't seem that way, does it? We can be honest. It's okay. It doesn't always seem like the Lord is working in your life, but he is. He absolutely is. And someday, you're going to look up, and you're gonna be standing in front of a group of teenagers wondering, why aren't you out there, and why isn't someone else up here? And that's exactly where I'm at right now. So so it's good to see you all and to go through all that. So what I'd like to do is just kind of fill you in on a couple things here, okay? And we'll get to the text here in just a minute. Again, I know that you're hungry. I did all that. But we'll go through just a couple things here. You know, as I was thinking, how many of you all, okay, let's do some interaction here. I'm going to come down here and be cool like Brother Shorter. So that's the thing about going second. You kind of have to live up to an expectation, right? But how many of you all, okay, a little bit more serious note here. How many of you all have had someone in your teen group that is no longer in your teen group? Anybody seen that before? Okay, a few of us have, right? So there's a lot of reasons that people say that that happens. Okay, and I was reading some stats on this. I'm a little bit of a numbers nerd, okay? And it depends on where you look and all that. But I came across like an average, okay, just to kind of average it out. And I want to use a little bit of a visual here, okay? So I was talking to the folks at Bible Baptist, okay, in Columbia. I know there's multiple Bible Baptists, okay? So Columbia folks, why don't y'all stand, if you would please? So I'm going to embarrass you just for a second. And the teachers as well, so y'all don't get out of this. And then, Brother Addison, if you can stand as well. So that makes an even 10, I believe. Okay, so just as a visual here. Okay, you with me? There's 10 of them, I think. I was homeschooled, so 5, 10. Okay, so there's 10. Hey, if there's 11, the shoes are coming off. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so there's 10 of them up here. All right, so as a sample size. So between ages 13 and 18, let's assume that there's 10. Okay, 10 in your teen group. At age 18, okay, the average stat is that 4 of them leave. That's the average, okay? So some are higher, some are lower, all right? So I'm going to ask Miss Anna and Elijah, right? Elijah, Jonathan, and Lydia, y'all go ahead and sit down. Okay? So now how many is left, class? 6. Okay, we're doing good so far. All right, so there's 6 left at age 18, just as an average, okay? By age 21, that's 3 years instead of 5, okay? 2 more are gone. 2 more. So Emily and Caitlin, go ahead and sit down. So how many is left, class? 4. Less than half, right? And even more leave in adulthood. Okay, I know this is a teen conference, right? But I teach a college and career class here, okay? And I've seen people come and go. I've been teaching that class for about 2 years now. I've seen people come and go. Some have been single airmen and stationed out and other things, but some of them have just left and never came back. And we don't know why, right? So, by about age 25, okay, about age 25 or so, 2 more leave. So, Mandy, go ahead and sit down. And Caitlin, right? Okay, go ahead and sit down. So, how many is left? 2. Now, I didn't even get into families. I didn't even get into home situations. I didn't even get into personal things. It could be that one of these guys here, y'all can sit down. Thank you, guys. So, it could be that one of those guys gets a family, right? And they decide that their career is now more important. I've seen that. Have pastors, leaders, have y'all seen that? Okay. We've seen that before. We've seen families leave and come and go and all that sort of thing. But what I want to focus on is where you all are at. Okay? Where you guys are at now. Because you are at a time in your life. How many of you all have heard a message about being at the crossroad? Right? That's like every teen conference ever, isn't it? It's all about being at the crossroad. You have to make decisions. And you do. You do have to make decisions. And I think that the culture puts some decisions on you that you're not ready for. And that's not your fault. Okay? That's where godly counsel comes in. That's where other things come in that we're going to talk about here in just a second. But what I want to focus on is what can I do? What can you do to not be a statistic? Because if there's anything that God doesn't want us to be, it's just like everybody else. But that's what the culture is forcing you into. right? Your friends want you to be just like them. The influencers on TikTok want you to be like them. Those people that you follow on Instagram, they want you to be like them. They want you to buy the things that they promote. They want you to go the places that they go. They want you to be like them. But God wants you to have a unique relationship with Him. Because my life isn't going to look like yours. Yours isn't going to look like your neighbor's, most likely. So I talked to you all about, I grew up here. I grew up in the, we called it teen department then, because we weren't as cool to be called future leaders. So we were the teen department then, and it was still in that back, it was still in that back room. Okay? And some of us are still here. Not very many, but some of us are still here. You know, still serving today. Some have gone on and done other things and still serving the Lord, and we praise the Lord for that. But I can list off a few who are no longer with us. Okay? Who are no longer serving the Lord. Who made a decision, whether they realize it or not, not to follow God's plan for their life. They think that they're doing what they want to do. They think that they're going to be happy somewhere down the road. They think that they made the right decision, but they didn't. I can say that authoritatively, because God desires more than anything else to have a relationship with you. And I'm going to get to Scripture here in just a second. But for every person that leaves, they have a reason why. They always have a reason. The leaders, help me out here. They always have a reason. They think it's a good one. It never is. But they think that there's a reason why. And every single time, it boils down to one thing. And that is this. They did not have the right relationship with God. Nothing else. There is no other reason. Their relationship with God was not what it should have been. So, what I'd like us to do is turn to our text verses. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Why don't you all stand with me, if you would, please. I want to read a couple verses here. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Anybody ever heard these verses before? Yeah. Right? We read them about 30 minutes ago, okay, in case you've forgotten. But I want to look at a couple words here. One is in verse number 5, and one is in verse number 6. And the reason why I want to look at them is because these two words indicate relationship. Verse number 5, what's the first word? Trust. In order to have a relationship, you have to have trust. In verse number 6, it says, "In all thy ways, what?" That's a relationship. So, I want to stick with the theme of the conference here. I was very nervous about doing this because Brother Shorter preaches twice and I preach once, so you never know how the first preacher is going to do it. But the Lord just laid this on my heart, so I'm going to share it with you. I hope that's okay. But the title is the theme, Look Up, Not Around. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this afternoon. And Father, I thank you for the many churches that have come here and the families that are represented. But I pray for just a few moments here. Help us to focus on your word. Help me to say what you'd have me to say. And I pray that that the Holy Ghost would have free reign over the services this afternoon. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Look up, not around. You know, I mentioned before, and it's true even for adults, but this is a teen conference, right? Last time I checked, this is a teen conference. We just came out of VBS, so our entire church is geared towards children right now. But y'all aren't kids, are you? You're teens. No? Yes? Are some of y'all confused about what you are? Okay. So you're teens, okay, I think. Most of you. And then we have adults who wish they were teens that are here as well. But in the in the teenage years, you know, I mentioned before, you have all sorts of things that are trying to pull your attention, right? You have friends, you have social media, you have all these things. You know, when, back in my day, when I was a teenager, I remember when it was in my generation that smartphones were readily available to everyone. Raise your hand if you have a smartphone. Yeah, that's about right. Okay, so if you have a smartphone, go ahead and turn that off, or silence that if you would, please. But also, think about how much you use that. How much do you use your smartphone? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to... if you have an iPhone, you can actually look that up. Did you know that? It might terrify you to look at those numbers. But there are all sorts of things, even on your phone, that want your attention.
Yeah, right.
The notifications can drive you crazy.
Right.
I've been around people before, and their phone is just constantly lighting up. You got to wonder, how do they even have a battery? You know, how do they judge the battery for an iPhone? If some people have notifications on for everything, some people have none of them. So I don't understand it, but it's a whole thing. And so anyway, we have all sorts of things that are vying for our attention. We have things not just on your smartphone device, but people. Okay. Now I would argue that the more social media has become more prevalent in our culture, I think people being extrovert is less and less. Okay, because they are more interested in their phones than they are people. And we see that at restaurants, don't we? You ever seen my wife and I? We try to go out every now and again, you know, because we still like each other most of the time. And so we try to go out and spend some time together. We've been married about 8.5 years now. She's downstairs in the kitchen with our toddler. She's 18 months old. She's fun, very energetic. So she'll be the kid down there that's always waving at everybody. So that's how you know. But she's an extrovert, okay? And she's an extrovert because she's curious. She wants to meet people, right? She wants to learn about you. And it's kind of freaky when you think about it that way. But she's learning the body gestures, and she's learning what people do when they interact with one another. But as adults, it's almost like when that phone is in our hand, we forget all that. Right? Are you with me so far? Are we all okay? I'm not trying to step on toes, but I'm telling you the reality of the situation here. And with that thing that's pulling for your attention, there's other things too. Okay? And here's what I'm getting at. All of these things are pulling at you, but there is one thing that should be the most important to you and to me, and that is our relationship with God.
Amen.
And I understand, I realize the role that I'm in, because I used to go to teen conferences, and I used to hear a guy stand up there and say the same things I'm saying to you right now. And I would think, well, it's not that big of a deal, right? If I miss my Bible reading one day, it's not going to kill my Christian life. I remember thinking that. Because it's easy to slip out of good habits. So some of you may have had a New Year's resolution, right? It's August. How you doing? Everybody still going to the gym? Everybody still eating right? You know, all the cliche New Year's resolutions, right? And we forget about those things that we set as a priority because something else has taken its place. Does that make sense? All it takes is one time of reading my Bible and that notification bell to go off on my phone, and I'm distracted. Right? You with me? So leave your phone in the other room. Right? There are things that you can do, but we're not willing to take that next step. Okay? If you have accepted Christ as Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. I'll give it to you. We'll warm up. All right. So that was pretty good. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, when you did that, you have engaged in a relationship with Christ. That's the intention, right? The intention, when I got saved, wasn't just to rescue me from hell, although that was a great thing. When I got saved, it wasn't just to inherit the promises of heaven, although those are great things. Being a Christian is not just about what you've been delivered from or what you're going to. It's about now. There are a lot of people and a lot of examples of how not to live life. Okay? There's a lot of people that we can look at on social media and other places where you look at their life and think, what are they doing? Right? They've gone crazy. The whole world has gone crazy. It's a topsy-turvy world. Isn't that what you said, Brother Shorter? And so all of these things going on in our life. But listen, the paramount thing, the most important thing in my life should be my relationship with Christ. And as we look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and the second one is acknowledge. Okay, those two things are absolutely critical in every relationship in our life. Every relationship, whether it be friendship, whether it be relationship as you all get older, all of these relationships in our life, they require, you must have trust and you must have acknowledgement. Okay? So I'm going to look to the adults for just a second here, okay? If those of you who are married, okay, old married folks that I'm now part of, if in a marriage you no longer trust your spouse, is that a very exciting marriage?
No.
Some of the pastors and leaders in this room have counseled adults who have lost trust in their spouse. And can I tell you, they never come in the office smiling. They've lost their joy. They've lost the relationship for that period of time. It can be regained, right? It can be regained. But at that moment, it's not very joyful. Guys, has your wife ever accused you of not acknowledging them? No? Yes? Just me? Okay. So thanks for leaving me all alone, guys. Appreciate it. So I tend to multitask way more than I should. And so when my wife is trying to tell me something, I'm generally doing something else, okay? And I'm thinking about that thing that I'm doing rather than listening to her. That's a bad habit that I have, okay? I'm not going to loop you guys in with me since you left me all alone anyway. But listen, teens, y'all have experienced this with friendships, haven't you? Oh, sure you have, okay? Yeah, especially the girls, right? So girls, you know, you're telling a story to your friend. And you say something like, are you even listening to me? It, girls, right? Yes, you have. Yeah, I know that these girls have because I've heard it. Okay. And in the college and career class, they hear the same thing, right? The girls are like, are you even listening? Listen to me. Because we all want acknowledgement, right? So remember what I said. When you accepted Christ as Savior, if that's you, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I said, we need to engage in a relationship with Christ. You agreed that upon receiving the deliverance from hell, upon receiving atonement for my sin, upon receiving the gifts of heaven, I'm going to engage with him now. Now. And listen, I think that is the thing missing in modern day gospel preaching. We talk all the time about hell, and we talked about heaven, and those things need to be talked about. But we forget to tell people how joyful the Christian life can be now.
Amen.
A relationship with Christ is not supposed to be boring. Does anybody enjoy a boring friendship? Okay? Does anybody like having a friend that's no more engaging than that wall right there? Nobody likes that guy. If you don't know that guy, it might be you. Okay? So nobody likes that guy. Nobody wants to be friends with a wall. But listen, how engaging is your relationship with Christ? When he's trying to speak to you, is it the same as you speaking to a wall? When he tries to prick your life, or prick your heart rather, and say, hey, spend time with me today. When he tries to do that, is it like talking to a wall? You know, when I was a teenager, a lot of things happened in my life. Okay, I got saved when I was 13. I got baptized not too long after. I got saved Christmas Eve of 2007. I'll never forget it. It's a moment that I will never, ever forget. And the Lord called me to preach when I was 17. And I remember that very, very distinctly. And the reason why I remember those things is because I believe it was at a moment when I needed it the most in my life. Here's what I mean. Having those things happen in my teenage years meant that it changed the trajectory of my adult life. My parents didn't get saved until they were older than I was. And I would venture to say that if my parents had gotten saved as teenagers, they would have made some different decisions. Okay? That's not regret talking, okay? That's just the way it is. So listen, as teenagers, okay? As teenagers, you have an opportunity to do what not many people get a chance to do. I, like some of you, I'm a second generation Christian, right? My parents were saved. And now I'm at a point to where I've had a daughter. So now she's going to be the third generation, Lord willing. And the cycle is supposed to continue. But that never happens without a relationship. This whole thing, what this is all about, what your pastor is standing up there streaming to you, and what your team director is standing up there streaming to you, it boils down to have a relationship with Christ. Don't be a statistic. Don't be someone who, or somehow it can be even worse, to claim to be something that you're not. It's exhausting putting on a show. It's exhausting acting like someone that you're not. What my bio doesn't tell you, it says that I was saved in 2007. It doesn't say what happened in the 3 years since we got here in 2004 to when I got saved. I sat right where Brother Thrashers are sitting right there. Okay? My dad sat there, my mom sat there, I sat third. For 3 years, I sat there and listened to the gospel message. At least three times a week. And then I had Sunday school. And then I had the other conferences and things. For 3 years. For 3 years, I wore slacks and a button-up and a tie. I was good to go, right? Wrong. Because I was pretending to be something that I wasn't. I didn't have the relationship. So if there's one thing I can urge you towards, it's you must have a relationship. You must have a relationship with God. As people, we need other people. Now, there are some people out there, who are what's called introverts. Does everybody know what an introvert is? Antisocial, right? You tend, maybe not necessarily antisocial, but you would rather spend more time alone or with a small group than with a big group of people. Okay? Introverts, raise your hands. This is the introvert's worst nightmare. Okay? Because I'm now acknowledging and turning the lights on and saying you are an introvert, right? And introverts, normally, okay, they don't like a lot of relationships. And I know this because my wife is an extreme introvert. She's that lady who loves her plants. She has a green shirt that says, Crazy Plant Lady. And I can't think of a more accurate description. She would rather, if she could, she would move on the side of a mountain and have her plants and have me sometimes and have... I would kind of come and go, you know, and then Amelia would be there as well, okay? So, introverts, right? Introverts. Extroverts, I skew more extrovert, okay? So, I like talking to people, okay? I like to get out and to socialize some. I have a meter, right? But regardless of how your personality pans out, okay, every one of us, if you're saved, say amen. Every one of us. We are called and we are expected to have a relationship with our Savior. Amen. And that starts when we stop looking around. The theme of the conference, look up, not around, right? Simple. But in our Christian life, it's not so simple, is it? It's not so simple to stop looking at the people around us. To not get sucked into a certain career field or that next promotion or hanging out with those people. Okay? And some of you may be feeling this right now. Okay? I'm sympathetic to where you are because I've been there and it's not easy. But with a relationship with Christ, it can be easier. Because when you focus on looking up, you don't have time to look around. When your eyes are fixed upon a goal, everything else just kind of fades off into the distance. You know, I'm reminded of professional athletes. The amount of micromanaging that happens in their life is extreme. Okay, any sports people in here? Anybody like sports? A few of you? Okay. I like some sports. Okay. The older I get, the less I like other sports. Okay. But generally speaking, I like sports. Okay. And one thing about athletes, regardless, almost regardless of what sport it is, okay, what they put in their body, and who they hand around and what they do and where they go, all of that is managed. Right? Are you with me?
Right.
They know exactly how many calories they've had that day. They know exactly what time they got up. They know exactly when their next workout is. They can recite to you their workout plan. They can go through everything in their life. And we look at that from a distance and say, wow, that's amazing. Look at the dedication they have. And we act like that's normal. Can we not normalize the same amount of diligence in our Christian life? Can we not say, just like how important it is for an athlete to monitor his calorie intake, it's every bit as important for me as a Christian to monitor how much time I've spent with God today.
Good.
It is incredibly important, but we act like it isn't. Okay? I don't want to say that some of you aren't taking your walk with God seriously. I have no way of knowing that. Okay? That's between you and God. But what I am saying is, I know what it's like to be a teenager. I know what it's like to grow up in church. I know what it's like when your parents are involved in everything and you're just being dragged along for the ride. Okay? I know what that's like. And now my daughter is going to have to experience the same thing. Because there isn't an area of Calvary Baptist Church that we're not involved in because we want to be. I love serving God. I love doing everything that we do here. And it can be enjoyable. It can be fun to clean the church. It can be fun. It can be fun to say, hey, I get to clean the toilets this week. Woo! That can be fun. It can be fun to mow the grass. It can be fun to stand up on the platform of EBS and act like a crazy person. Okay? These things can be fun. If you don't believe me, just look at Brother Shorter. Okay? He has fun with everything he does. Right? It can be enjoyable serving God. And you remember that illustration about the statistics? Okay? That was like 30 minutes ago. Okay? It wasn't that long ago. So y'all remember that, right? Shake your head yes, if you remember. Okay, thank you. So those people that I had sit down, okay, what wound up being 8 out of 10, those folks lost the enjoyment because they lost the relationship. And I'm going to challenge you, if you don't take anything else out of this message, take this. Okay? You ready? Look up, not around.
Amen.
Should be easy. It's printed on your books, right? Look up, not around. Because as a Christian, if I'm looking up, I don't have time to look around. If my eyes are fixed on Christ, if my eyes are set on my Bible, and up at the preacher when he's preaching, right? All of these godly and good and biblical things. If I'm following that blueprint, a lot of other decisions will be easy to make.
Right.
Those people that left, the 8 out of 10, their life gets really complicated when they leave.
Right.
It gets really complicated. Because decisions that they had made previously to leaving, they're all gone. Can I give you an example? Is that okay? Well, I'm preaching, so I'm going to. An example would be something like this. Previous to leaving, whatever church it is, at Calvary Baptist Church, for example, previous to leaving, I'm going to be at Sunday morning service. I'm going to be at Sunday night service. I'm going to be at Wednesday night service. Okay? You tracking with me? That's the decision that they made. When they leave Calvary Baptist Church, what now? Now every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, they know they should be in their pew. But they're not. So now they're trying to fill that time with something else. I know this because I've seen it. I've talked with these people. I've sat across the table and said, "What are you doing? Why are you making your life so complicated?" You know, our lives weren't meant to be complicated. Adam and Eve didn't really have a complicated life. Right? Read Genesis, okay? Catch up with me. Adam and Eve didn't have a complicated life. They had a relationship with God, and they had some work to do. Because people need work. Okay? Not my message, but while I'm walking by it, people need work. That was it. But today, we try to fill our lives with all of these complicated things. We try to be here and do this and do that. We try to have everything that we can possibly handle. And that's a problem because we weren't meant to handle everything. So, look up, not around. Focus on your relationship with God, and everything else will become easy. Amen. Let's all stand if you would.